Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Friday, March 27th, 2020. Good afternoon, Dave Allen.
Happy Friday.
Oh, boy. I'll tell you what. I'm so glad it is the 27th. It's just incredible how fast this time has gone by. And when I think of when I was gone on my short vacation way back in the first part of January, that seems like that was 2 years ago. And certainly when this is all over, I'm going to need another one. Should get some pretty good deals on some cruises, though, I think. But anyway, welcome to the program. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. And the metals market today. Again, the metals are all over the place. 1615 low, 1642 high for the gold. Looking at 1625 at the moment. Not a lot of change from yesterday. Silver was down 5 cents today at 1446. Platinum was up 9 at 747. Palladium was down 71 at 2,334. The USDX today, man, they're just, you know they're hammering gold. You know they're in there keeping the price down. You have the dollar down another point, 1.06. That's 2 days in a row. 2 days in a row, 98.40. At the beginning of the week, I think it was almost 102. Did it go over 102, Dave? No, I guess you're not there as usual, so,
I guess it was there at 103.
Was it closer to 103?
It exceeded 103.
Wow. And here we're at 98.40 after a week of stimulus and everything else going into these markets. Crude oil was down 0.96 at 21.64. And let's see what the papers did today. Here we go. 929 points to the downside at 21,622. The NASDAQ was down, the numbers are still moving around, 295, 7,502. The S&P was down 88 at 2,541. 10-year yield, 0.75%, down 0.06. Let's see. London was down a little over 5%. Germany was back down almost 4%. And hey, you put a little stimulus in that stock market and have those paper numbers move to the upside, and all of a sudden people aren't feeling as fearful as they once were. It's amazing what takes out a little bit of fear. I mean, it's just unbelievable. 1,000 points on the Dow, and oh, everything's okay once again. So 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Give us a call at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. We have the because of the COVID-19, we continue to see that rise. The world numbers have jumped. We continue to see the numbers in the U.S. rise, 86,000 confirmed cases, 1,300 deaths, and U.S. consumer sentiment fell to a three-year low as the coronavirus outbreak takes a toll. These numbers are out from the University of Michigan today. The index of consumer sentiment dropped to 89.1 in March. Now, this is the lowest level, not since the Great Recession, but since October of 2016, from 101 in February. Everyone was sort of expecting around 90. So March's decline in sentiment was the fourth largest in nearly 50 years. Now, this was according to Richard Curtin. He's the chief economist for the surveys of consumers. Yes. They have a department, Survey of Consumers, and he's the chief economist. The extent of additional declines in April will depend on the success in curtailing the spread of the virus and, of course, how quickly households receive federal funds. The outbreak has led several businesses to close or curb activity. We certainly have seen the large surge in unemployment claims last week. We all know that the Senate passed the $2 trillion stimulus bill to cushion the economic blow from, I guess the House also passed the House, and I guess it's on the way to the president, Dave.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. Now, with air travel at a near standstill and, you know, amid the pandemic, the Department of Homeland Security is extending the Real ID enforcement deadline a full year to October 1 of next year. The acting secretary of DHS, Chad Wolf, said the federal, state, and local response to the spread of the coronavirus here in the United States necessitates a delay in this deadline. States across the country have temporarily closed or restricted access to the departments of motor vehicles, which has prevented millions of people from applying for and receiving their new state-issued real IDs. So for now, adults boarding any federally regulated aircraft can continue to use their current driver's licenses as usual for domestic travel and wait until 2021 to obtain a real ID compliant license. Now, in the kind of, I guess, under the retail apocalypse heading, Mall Staples Build-A-Bear Workshop and the Cheesecake Factory both announced today they're laying off workers. Build-A-Bear plans to furlough more than 90% of its workforce. The Cheesecake Factory is laying off 41,000 hourly restaurant workers. Furloughed employees for both companies will continue to be eligible for employee benefits, including insurance. Citing the impact of government regulations and landlord decisions to close properties, Cheesecake Factory is not paying rent at any of its facilities for the month of April.
But you would think once the doors open up, I mean, these people will be reemployed. We get that. But, you know, they're going to have to play catch up from the bills that they haven't been able to pay and so forth. And it depends on how soon, you know, they get their checks from the government to help them through this time. And again, you'd think people would learn that, you know, it's not a bad thing to start saving a little bit of money, you know, for bad situations, because bad situations always happen. People lose you're always at risk of losing your job. And you have to think about how you can, you know, manage during those days, or you get a sickness and you can't work. How are you going to get through, you know, the next month? So you do need to make sure, you know, you have children and so forth, that they do get, you know, start learning to put money aside for these situations that occurs, because they always do. Former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb warned this morning that New York City hospitals are going to run out of medical supplies. You know, they got about 40,000 cases in New York. And, of course, Hungary now has become the latest country to announce a 2-week lockdown to curb the spread. Prime Minister Viktor Orban said that while citizens must maintain social distancing, they would be able to go to work, shop, and take limited exercise outdoors starting Saturday. Well, that doesn't really sound like a lockdown to me, you know, when you can. So I'm not quite sure what type of a lockdown they're going to have.
We'll call it a modified or partial lockdown. Although their police, I guess, are going to enforce the law. So I don't know how they enforce a partial lockdown. Maybe they'll have social distancing police officers instead of writing tickets for parking violations. They'll bring they'll have their handy-dandy tape measures and make sure that people in the parks are at least 6 feet apart.
There you go. Yeah. This one cracks me up. I mean, Dave, tell us about Norway. They're only predicting, what, a couple percent drop in GDP? if they're
well, yeah, on the one hand, they're predicting that its GDP, excluding oil, will drop by 2% this year. Now, on the other hand, that's double the 1% contraction it expected just last week. So talk about numbers being in flux. That forecast is based on the assumption that the urgent situation in Norway and other countries remains for the coming 2 months, and that growth thereafter gradually returns to normal. Now, morale among Italian businesses also plunged in March as the outbreak dampened economic activity there. Data by Statistics Institute ISTAT showed that its business morale index, that captures the manufacturing, retail, construction, and service sectors, sank to a reading of a little bit below 82 this month from last year's roughly 98. And that reading was the lowest there since June of 2013.
Well, you know, I guess there's been another leader who's announced that he tested positive for the COVID-19. I thought I heard that his wife was also pregnant. So I heard something.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah, so she's pregnant, and so I guess they're separated, and she's tested negative and everything, and, you know, he's doing everything. But he made the announcement that, you know, government plans to cover the cost of employer national health insurance and pension contributions for businesses that are furloughing staff. Of course they are. They're going to protect everyone. In fact, I heard the G20, I don't know if you have us to report on this today, that the G20, when they had their conversation by telephone, all agreed to a $5 trillion stimulus to get us through these difficult times. $5 trillion bucks, you know, in addition to all the other trillions of dollars that are going. It's just like, is anybody counting the trillions yet, Dave?
Nope, and as we'll talk about in a little bit, I don't know if they will, except perhaps, you know, folks like us who still think that kind of number, the debt and deficits, are important. Mm.
Well, you know, despite this virus, U.S. consumer spending rose moderately in February, which kind of makes sense, you know, because everybody, you know, I think if you pulled out the toilet paper buying, you know, maybe it wouldn't have gone up. But, you know, although momentum is set to fade rapidly in coming months, the pandemic upending life for a lot of folks. Commerce Department reported this morning consumer spending accounts for more than two-thirds of GDP and increased by 0.2% last month. Last month's increase matched the gain in January and was in line, you know, with everyone's expectations. So, let's see, restaurants and bars, we know they've been shuttered, airline travel largely curtailed, you know, economists say will greatly offset and boost to consumer spending from grocery purchases following a wave of panic buying as Americans prepared to hunker down. So, you know, when adjusted for inflation, consumer spending edged up 0.1% for a third straight month in February.
And as Melody and Butch mentioned on yesterday's program, you know, this comes amid the record number of Americans filing for unemployment benefits last week. It was released yesterday when they skyrocketed to a record 3.3 million. 4.5 times the previous record of 695,000 set in 1982. Now, consumer spending grew at a 1.8% annualized rate in the fourth quarter last year, slowing from a brisk 3.2% that was logged in the previous quarter, the third. Labor market strength, which has since waned more than a bit, driving a steady pace of wage growth and was the economy's main pillar of support last month. Again, everyone's looking forward, they're looking to those April numbers, which are sure to like open a lot of eyes. Now, in February, personal income increased 0.6%. That matched January's rise. Income was boosted by higher wages and government payments to farmers caught in the 20-month-long U.S.-China trade war. Wages also advanced last month, up 0.5%. Of course, income excluding government subsidies will be closely watched for clues on the magnitude of the economic downturn. Government also said that the inflation moderated in February. The personal consumption expenditures price index, the PCE, rose 0.1% for the second straight month. As we know, the PCE price index, which is the preferred measure of inflation by the Fed, was sort of held in check by a 2.1% drop in the cost of energy goods and services, which partially offset a 0.4% gain in food. Through February, the 12-month PCE index advanced 1.8%, again matching the gain in January. And yes, for some odd reason, the core PCE index is the Fed's preferred inflation measure. It missed the central bank's 2% target last year.
Well, it won't soon. It's not going to miss it soon, and it's going to far and exceed that little 2%, their little number that they like so much, thinking that that's the perfect inflation rate. Doesn't matter what it is, they just think that's the number, and it's just, it just boggles the mind. And
it's Lebanon baloney.
Oh my gosh. And we're going to talk a little bit about debt. There was one congressman against the bailout bill, and I guess from what I'm reading, he got a lot of heat from the administration against this congressman who said that was warning of the debt bomb that we all face. And yeah, he did think it was a problem that a family of four, their tax bill just increased by $30,000. And that's not something to, you know, that we, any of us should take lightly. I mean, they owe it and they got to pay it. But before we get there, we're going to talk a little bit about the Fed asset. We only have a minute before we go into the break, but $5 trillion, the Fed's balance sheet, which consists largely of treasury bonds and other assets it has purchased over the years, ballooned $5.3 trillion. That's well above the $4.5 trillion peak the Fed hit in May of 2016, before it started rolling off the bonds it had acquired during the after the first financial crisis. They got to $4.5 trillion. They hit the peak in May 26, but it took them how long to get to May 26? They backed off of it. I don't know how low they got. I think they got to 2-something, didn't they?
Yeah, between 1.5 and 2.
And now they're at 5 in a matter of weeks? Or even a month? Before it took years.
It's good to be king.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Then I never knew, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful way.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Someday somebody's gonna make you wanna turn around and say goodbye. Say goodbye. Until then, baby, are you gonna let him hold you down and make you cry? Don't you know? Don't you know? Yeah. Things are changing. Yeah. Things are going your way. If you hold on.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We're going to continue with the $5 trillion balance sheet of the Federal Reserve. But before we get there, I went online to do some comparisons on gold bullion coins, gold eagles, buffaloes, and I just can't even believe what's going on. If I tell you anything, I tell you this from my years of experience. And again, yes, there's good people out there and there's bad people out there. But there's a certain way that you buy things. And when you're buying gold and silver, you don't pay for something that's so bizarre in premium just to have it. You don't do it. You wait, or you buy something else where the value is still there. It's reasonable with immediate delivery. Pre-orders for Gold Eagles for April 15th. Are you kidding me? You know? And at the premiums that they're charging. They're for one coin, they're like, what, $1,850? $1,850? Are you kidding me? And that's for backdated ones. Silver Eagles. I mean, these wholesalers, not retailers, wholesalers will not drop their premiums. You have control. And I'm a retailer, so I'm saying, yeah. Either you buy something, and I'm not one where I believe that you wait to buy, but you've got to open your mind into what you buy. You can't be so focused on just, oh my God, I just got to have American Silver Eagles. I can't have anything. That's what I want because that's what I was told to buy. And you'll pay anything for it just because somebody told you that's what you have to buy. It's like I've never seen anything like it. Get off the silver kick. You know, get off the high premium kick. Because the prices, the premiums aren't going to, especially on bullion. I mean, are you kidding me on bullion? I have Mint State 70 Buffalo coins, 25 years or ever since they started slabbing those things. It's like, well, you don't really want to buy them because, you know what, you pay a lot of premium for them, and, you know, when you crack them out of the case, all you're going to have right now is a regular American Gold Eagle and Buffalo. In fact, sometimes we use those slab coins to fill just our regular orders. Yeah, just your regular orders, but you have dealers out there charging huge prices for them. I can sell them today cheaper or less expensive than what these guys online are selling regular buffaloes that aren't slabbed by like $50. So it's just like crazy out there. And then people want to argue with me, Dave. They want to argue with me. It's like, you know, hey, if you don't want to listen to my opinion and don't take the information, I'm only giving you information so that you can make an informed decision on your purchase. You don't have to buy from me, but at least listen to what I have to say.
Melody, and those of you who think you know it all are an insult to those who do.
Yes. But I had a guy who wanted to argue with me this morning, and I'm trying to understand where he was coming from. And it was just, it's just like, look, you know, I'm not arguing with you. This is the facts. This is the truth. And that means you most likely bought someplace else and paid that stupid price. So you didn't want to hear what I had to say. Now you realize you probably paid more than what you should have for a product that you shouldn't have paid that much for. So, I mean, it's like paying a Ford Escort, a Cadillac price. Baby, you ain't getting a Cadillac, you're getting a Ford Escort. And it's the same thing. So again, give us a call at 800-375-4188. We do have those. Well, I did have them heading into the program, the slab buffaloes. But when you can buy a slab buffalo for less than an American buffalo online, it's a deal. Anyway, back to the Fed. See, you got me fired up talking about a $5 trillion budget or $5 trillion. Oh, it gets better?
Yeah, just wait.
All right. So where do we end up at? Okay. Just over the past week, we saw that, as a recap, the Fed asset portfolio breaches $5 trillion. It's on its way to $10 trillion. The balance sheet, they hold treasuries and other assets. And mortgage-backed securities is one of them. And we see this Fed has entered into basically this quantitative easing. I don't even know what number we're at now. Just over the past week, the increase was 12.4%, partly a function of the Fed adding $255 billion in Treasury securities and another $19 billion in mortgage-backed securities. The biggest growth area, though, was in Fed currency swaps, which rose from just $25.2 billion a week ago. Keep that number in mind, $25.2 billion a week ago to $206 billion in the latest reporting. The Fed greatly expanded its currency swaps with other central banks to include not only its traditional partners, but also a slew of others around the world amid this huge demand for dollar-denominated assets. And if things proceed as forecast, the Fed is just getting started. Some analysts believe that unlimited quantitative easing and emergency liquidity programs, you're going to see the balance sheet double in size. That's $5 trillion to $10 trillion just over the rest of this year. And so put everything around that number in perspective for our government debt and everything else. And where do you think you're going to be? Where do you think inflation is going to be? Go ahead, Dave.
Well, that's a good question. The Fed had originally indicated it was going to add just $700 billion to its bond portfolio, $500 billion in treasuries and another $200 billion in the mortgage-backed securities. Except earlier this week, it switched to this open-ended program in response to increased volatility in financial markets and the deep dive the U.S. stock markets took over the past few weeks. And again, Wall Street now anticipates the balance sheet will hit $10 trillion by the end of this year. Jerome Powell on Wednesday said the Fed will aggressively and forthrightly, his words, continue its efforts and will not run out of ammunition. Translated, that means balance sheet will likely hit $7 trillion by June, about $2.5 trillion from its previous peak now. Ultimately, You know, we're looking at another $4.5 to $5 trillion expansion, as Melody indicated. That's greater than the 3.7 trillion growth that occurred during and after the 2008 financial crisis. And of course, critics are worrying about the possibility of inflation resulting from all that extra cash in the system, though they argue it hasn't been a problem since the asset purchases started in late 2008. Balance sheet expansion creates bank reserves that the Fed credits institutions in exchange for the securities it buys. Again, the current level of reserves at the Fed is just over $2 trillion, and that's a little bit more, about a third more than the 1.5 the Fed said it was targeting as a, quote, healthy level to meet current demand at the time. Entering a new phase of craziness, Melody, and just wait until we talk. There's something coming up either this segment or next about, we'll call it Stimulus 4.0, already talking $2 trillion, not enough.
Well, I think we'll get to that here. Just so there's two things. We did announce that the House passed the stimulus bill, and there really isn't a whole much more to say about it. I think the importance, Dave, and we're going to work on that this weekend, to all the crazy little items that were attached to this bill. And the one that I found interesting, then we're going to talk about that 4.0 stimulus, but the one I thought was important was the job security for military brass. Now, the rescue package permits Trump to extend the terms of up to 7 senior military leaders, the Air Force Chief of Staff, the Chief of Space Operations, the Chief of the National Guard Bureau, the Directors of the Army and Air National Guard, and the Chief of the Army and Navy Reserves. These are all this is all the National Guard and stuff, right, Dave, that I just read off?
I believe most of them.
Yeah. So many of these top officers' terms are set to expire later this year. The provision would permit Trump to keep these current leaders in the job until successors are confirmed. And the provision was included in an initial Senate Republican version of the stimulus and has the backing of the Senate Armed Services Committee. The aim is to give Trump the options to fill top leadership. I just find that kind of odd. Thinking of what's going on, I don't know why was that so important to add to the stimulus bill.
We'll have to find that out. I'll look deeper into that. I can speculate, but I'd rather take a look and see what the impact is likely to be.
Oh, come on. Speculate. That's what this program... That's what this is all
about.
Well,
look, we know that a lot of his senior cabinet members and other political appointees are in, quote, acting roles. And it's for one reason only. It's a way to skirt the constitutional confirmation authority of Congress, of the Senate. And, say what you will about, reasonable people can debate, whether a specific choice, for secretary of whatever is good or not. But the process, we always talk about words mattering. Well, mm-hmm. I think process largely does too. And this could be, a part of having to avoid. There's some exceptions with these military officers about these acting appointments. That's what we need to look into in that respect.
Yeah, interesting view. And you're right. Their terms are up, and So it also gives us, you know, what is this country going to be going through at that point that he didn't want to do that? And it'd be interesting, you know, to see if there's other administrations. And I'm not talking about the Democratic demonstration. I'm talking about all administrations in the past. If this is something, I don't know. That just struck me as odd. But anyway,
certainly odd.
Yes. But let's see, we got about 3 minutes. Let's talk about the proposed stimulus. There's a, you got critics on both sides on this $2.2 trillion spending bill. And, of course, I mentioned the, very little outcry. And the one guy who did is getting criticized for it. So now they're also trying to add others, an automatic boost to Communities Act in the House. And, again, it's so massive. I don't think it's going to be, I'm not sure what this all means, because she's trying, you're looking at the Tlaib of Michigan. It doesn't even make sense.
Well, I'm not sure this thing has a shot in the House, much less the Republican-controlled Senate. Particularly right now, although it does make you think: is anything beyond our elected officials in Washington anymore? I mean, when it comes to the size of a package. But go ahead.
No, go on. I mean, you're absolutely correct. I mean, even the thought. But I mean, sometimes things are just so beyond. But here's an interesting angle, and I'm not sure, Dave, you might want to comment on this a little bit more, the hashtag Mint the Coin plan. I mean, this has come up various times in the past. And well, is she actually bringing this up?
Oh, yeah, this is the bill specifies, I mean, essentially every single person in the U.S., man, woman, and child would get a debit card with $2,000 on it. And then every month, an additional $1,000 would be added to the card until 1 year after the certified end of the coronavirus. But under this hashtag Mint the Coin plan, it essentially authorizes the Treasury Secretary to mandate the U.S. Mint to print or make $1 trillion platinum coins. Boy, how'd you like to have your hands on that? And I believe that's correct. That's the way that at least three different articles refer to it as $1 trillion platinum coins. Even though some estimates of this proposal has the cost of the debit cards eventually costing $6 trillion. Anyway, we can talk more about it if you'd like after we get back from this break.
Sure, please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. We're winding down here for the week, for the hour of this program, heading into this last segment. And, you know, heading into it, we were talking about the $6 trillion coin, but they can't do that. I mean, they would have to change all kinds of, constitutional norms and everything. But it has been floated around before. And it is always interesting to talk about and see what kind of things, as we go deeper and deeper into debt and everyone is trying to, but basically what they're trying to do also, Dave, is with those cards, which basically be what we talked about yesterday as we're hearing more and more about the universal basic income. That's basically what it is. Uh-huh. Money from government on a monthly basis. And it wouldn't stop after the crisis was over. They would just keep it pumping it out. Once government starts something, they can't stop it. I mean, heavens. I mean, we should know by now. Just take a look at the problems that we have because they couldn't stop. So, I mean, it's just, we certainly are going into some crazy times, that's for sure. I guess maybe we could talk a little bit about the White House is having a hard time defending tariffs. What's that about? Dave?
Well, there's some controversy surrounding where we're getting our medical supplies from, essentially.
Yeah.
And that's been the impetus for this new issue. Products being used in the in our response, our country's response to the coronavirus, that are in high demand but short on supply. You know, things like ventilators, surgical masks, hand sanitizers, and the like. But this report talks about Gojo Industries, happens to be the inventor and manufacturer of Purell branded products, which we've got, I think, 5 or 6 bottles of in our house, in every room. Builds its hand sanitizers and soap dispensers here in the U.S., but a key component that makes sure that dispensers work is made in China and subject to a 25% tariff, a pre-existing one over the last 20 months. Now, Gojo submitted a tariff exemption request to the U.S. trade rep last year, said it's exploring third country sourcing, but added that unilaterally moving its production would require reverse engineering of a key chip that's now manufactured by a Canadian company in China. Are you dizzy yet? And Gojo says, you know, that action would violate some intellectual property laws, and you know, they don't control the ability to move the production. So, predictably, the U.S. trade rep said, sorry, no, to Gojo's request earlier this month, essentially showing that, or saying that the company has failed to show that the existing 25% tariffs would cause severe economic harm to them or to U.S. Interests.
It's amazing that everything is made here in the States except a little component.
Yeah, that's the nature of today's manufacturing.
But one little component, I mean, what could that component be?
Yeah, it's maybe it's the I don't know, the pressure or squeezing the pump mechanism. I don't know. There's part of the pump that makes the liquid come out. I don't know.
But you know what? Then I always think back to, you know, my client who manufactures and buys his product from China, and he says product is just so cheap, even with a 25% tariff, we're not going to be buying anywhere else. We'll look in other areas in Asia, just like what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We'll buy products in other parts, but it's certainly not, we're not going to be buying anything from the States. It's just too expensive. And he says, even if the tariffs stay on, even if they rise, we're not going anywhere. So that's sort of the same thing that they're saying. They're not going anywhere. But, very interesting.
Interesting stuff. Yeah.
Well, you know, we were mentioning some restaurants that were closing, and we know a lot of the department stores are closing. We talked a little bit about this off and on all week long, and department store chains have enough liquidity to make it about 5 to 8 months with their stores sitting dark, with the virus. It says the range is better than feared because the firm's doesn't anticipate the temporary store closures will drag on for that long. JCPenney and Nordstrom, they said they have enough cash. Yeah. So it's, I can't imagine that they're going to be able to open. They say they have, Kohl's and Macy's say they have enough for 5 months. But Cohen made these forecasts assuming all of these retailers are bringing in zero revenue from their brick and mortar stores. So I don't know. Maybe online selling can offset the closure of stores. I don't know, Dave. Highly unlikely.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, but with unemployment skyrocketing, less disposable income, people beginning to draw down on their savings, some cashing in on their 401ks, it's doubtful that there's going to be particularly a lot of luxury type buying besides, you know, the staples to just get by from week to week or month to month. So this could just put the retail industry, the mall industry, over the edge. Doesn't mean that the whole thing is going down. I think it just means that after, you know, all the dust clears, they're going to be less companies left. And that just isn't good for the consumer.
No, and what they're doing to protect themselves is, you know, they're suspending their share buybacks and holding dividend payments. I've been hearing all week long the various companies, not just in retail, but in other sectors where they're eliminating the dividends, suspending share buybacks. Well, government will do that now. The government will replace the individual, the multinational corporations from share bags. They might quit, but the government will step in there and pick up for them. But dividends, yeah, that hurts people. And so there was a Trump lays out the next phase of virus response. He said in his vision yesterday for what he called the next phase in the war on the virus, in a letter to the nation's governors, Trump said he planned to develop criteria to help classify counties with respect to continued risks posed by. He said the use of robust surveillance testing will allow local governments to track the spread of the virus. And you know what? The stories are true. People get tested. They don't have results after a week. It truly is pitiful. Truly pitiful that we cannot do a better job. And I heard all the various reasons and excuses. Some of those reasons are true. The excuses are none, are not. And not to have the supplies in order to have these tests come back sooner than later. And I read all the articles about the reasons why it takes so long, and I know there are, and I know there are other coronaviruses out there, and it's hard to tell. I get all that. But we should be ashamed of ourselves that we don't have the materials and the items and not to be working together. And the dog and pony show that I see every day. I mean, it baffles me. Truly baffles me. And, President Trump has set up upon the date of Easter, and that's April 12th. But Dr. Fauci says, I don't think so. But go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, counties, there's over 3,100 of them in the U.S. Counties would be divided into three risk levels, low, medium, and high. Probably have colors associated with them. And each of those levels would be accompanied by risk-specific guidelines for elected leaders to use in deciding whether to maintain the same level or to decrease or increase different criteria like social distancing restrictions. Now, you know, the president has suggested that experts who recommended extending the campaign are, he thinks, in part, are motivated by a desire to defeat him politically and not necessarily by a desire to protect Americans from the virus. Maybe some truth to that. White House health advisor, Dr. Fauci, Anthony Fauci, said, the U.S. can start thinking about getting back to some degree of normalcy, but only after the country as a whole turns the corner of reducing the spread of the coronavirus outbreak. It's an interesting situation, Melody. I mean, language in the bill says the CDC has to report its progress on developing a surveillance and data collection system to Congress in the next 30 days. Now, some are saying the plan outlined by the Prez doesn't take into account the likely impact of opening some areas of the country while keeping others closed, presumably in terms of the spread of the virus. Public health experts say this can actually contribute to the spread of pandemics by causing people to travel from closed down areas with high or higher infection rates to more open areas with lower ones. So I'm not sure that that's going to go anywhere. I mean, certainly as a just a general public information, it'd be good to have. I wonder if we're not just unnecessarily creating another level of work for officials who are already grossly overworked and overstressed during this this crazy time, Melody.
You know, we certainly are, and what's crazy is this hour has also gone by extremely fast, and just like this year. And but I did want to, you got about 2 minutes to talk about your blog this week, about how gold is, how we're going to be returning to record highs. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Everybody knows this. And, of course, you know, I believe easily 3,000, easily 5,000, then we'll see what's going on at that point in time. But do you want to talk about your latest blog?
Yeah, sure. It'll be out after the show today. Another major trading firm is riding the gold bull. TD Securities, the latest, project a near-term move in gold price to $1,800 an ounce, followed by a jump to $2,000 by the end of the year. You know, all told for the week, spot gold's up about $128, or almost 9%. That's as of mid-afternoon today. Should be about the same after the end of trading. TD's precious metal strategist Brett Mellick believes liquidity normalization, negative interest rates, low cost of carry, and other concerns around fiat currency debasement likely mean are the major reasons driving their company's projections of $1,800 and then $2,000. Ryan Giannotto at Granite Shares said this week's Fed action, or Fed decision, signals there's a new sheriff in town as the Fed committed to those unlimited asset purchases. Said a fact that's going to benefit gold's potential. So there are a number of other firms out there that we've talked about over the past couple of weeks and that we generally talk about all the time. But here's another one, ladies and gentlemen. Clear path towards $2,000 per ounce and more.
Just around the corner. Don't let it slip you by. 1-800-375-4188. We'll be back on Monday. So be safe out there, ladies and gentlemen. Take care and God bless.
Bye-bye.
That's too bad.